Okay, Bava Metzia, Perkhes, Mishnah Dalet, 8-4. We've moved on from halachas that apply to custodianship, Shomrim, but we're still on the larger topic of commercial law, which will take us through really to the next chapter. So here we're talking about something which is kind of related and very similar to what we saw a couple of Mishnahs ago, where you have two parties. In this case, it's a buyer and a seller, and they're arguing over who's entitled to what, and there's claims of Bari and Shema. So very similar to the previous. The first case is going to be where a person is essentially buying a cow, and the cow is pregnant at the time, and we're not sure if the cow gave birth before or after the transaction occurred, and therefore it's not clear, or it's being argued, who was the rightful owner of the calf that was born. And now let me just make something clear before we begin. Let's just say, for example, that cows are worth 100 each, whether they're big or small, and a pregnant cow is worth 150, let's just say, because it's, you know, got the potential to give birth to a baby cow. So then this transaction was done with a pregnant cow, so it's a $150 transaction. What they're arguing over is the other 50. In other words, if the calf had been born prior to the transaction, so then the purchaser should get two animals, he would get 200 of value, and if not, then if the cow was born after the transaction, then before the transaction, so then it would belong to the original owner before the transaction happened, and therefore the buyer would only get $150 worth of cow, which would mean he would have to get a different pregnant cow or, you know, have to get the value of, you know, the extra 50. So what they're arguing over is the difference between the 150, which they agreed to, and the possible 200 that it might be worth if the cow gave birth after the transaction occurred. Okay, so on that, the Mishnah's going to have to figure out a way in which we just don't know whether the cow gave birth before or after the transaction. Now, to set that up, we have to come up with a kind of transaction where there's a Maisa Kinnin that affects the transaction where the cow's not in front of us. That's a little tricky because usually for metalted movable objects like a cow, you have to sort of take physical possession, like a Hagbah or a Meshicha, etc., a Mesira. There are different ways, each of their own as applicable to different livestock. In the case of a cow, you'd have to lead the cow, you'd be Moshechet, but if that's the case, you'd see if the cow had the baby ready. So we have to come up with another way of making a kinyan on this cow. And the way that the Mishnah comes up with is called chalipin. Chalipin is an exchange. So the case is that you have two people. One has a cow, one has a donkey. And they want to trade them. So that's called the kinyan chalipin. And the way it works is once one of the parties takes possession of his animal, he's Moshech, and he pulls it, so then the other party automatically takes possession of the other. So in our case, one party now who wants to get the donkey, he pulls the donkey, making the donkey his, and then immediately the cow, which they were exchanging, they're trading for the donkey, the cow, wherever it is in the world, becomes the possession of the guy who used to own the donkey. So if the cow was, you know, on the farm somewhere else, so then we could have a question of, did the cow give birth before or after the transaction happened? Okay, so that's the setup of our Mishnah. It says, Hamachalif para b'chamor v'yalda. They do a chalipin, they do a transaction, a trade between a cow and a donkey, and the cow gave birth. And again, we don't know when the birth happened, before or after the chalipin, the taking possession of the donkey. V'chein, and really the exact same thing would apply, if you have hamocher shivchaso v'yalda, a person selling a slave woman. A slave woman can also be acquired with money, while metalton and other movables can't be acquired with money, but slaves can, because they're connected exegetically to land. So therefore, it's again a possible thing. I can give you money for your slave girl now, and the slave girl is somewhere far away, you don't see her, so therefore we're not clear if she gave birth before or after the money was taken, you know, the seller took possession of the money. Zeomer ad shel macharti v'zeomer mishlakachti. So each one is fighting over who gets the baby calf. One says it was after the calf was born after the sale, and therefore, sorry, the first one is ad shelo macharti, the calf was born prior to my selling it, and therefore the calf belongs to me. Another person says mishlakachti, no, the calf was born after I took possession of the cow by you taking the donkey, and therefore the calf belongs to me. So they're arguing over that extra value, and same goes if it would be talking about the girl from the child from the shifra. So the Mishnah says yachaloku, they should split it, meaning the disputed value between a pregnant cow and a cow plus calf, let's call that 50. So then they're going to split that difference, meaning one person gets the calf, another and that same person who gets the calf has to reimburse 25 to the other person. Okay, that's what it means, yachloku. This is, again, going like sumchas, who holds mamun mutl basafik yachloku. When you have a situation, you don't know to whom the money belongs, you divide it 50-50. That's the case over here. We don't know who that calf belongs to, so we divide the value 50-50. The halacha, again, is not like sumchas. The halacha is like the chacham, who hold that we hamotzim mechaver lavaraya. You can't take something unless you have proof. Since someone has proof, so then the calf would stay with the muchsak, the muchzak being the original owner. So that means either if it's a case where the calf is on someone's property, like the lender, the buyer or the seller, doesn't make a difference. Whoever's the calf's property the calf is on now, that person gets to keep the calf as the muchzak. If the calf is a neutral ground, they don't, let's say in hefker, so then the marakama, the previous owner, meaning the guy who, the first original owner of the cow when it was pregnant, he's the one who keeps the calf. And hamoti, if you want to take it from him, you have to bring a raya. That's halacha l'maisa. Okay, fine. The Mishnah continues now. Hayulo shnei avadim. If a person had two slaves, echa gadol v'echa katan, one is worth more, one's worth less. For argument's sake, yeah, fine. There's the bigger and the lesser one. V'chen shtei sados. If a person had two fields, achas gadol v'achas katana, one is larger, one is smaller. And again, therefore, one's worth more, one's worth less. And they did a transaction, you know. The guy who owned the slave or owned the land, you know, he took his 100 bucks for it. And then the purchaser says, okay, I'm entitled now to the larger field or slave. But the seller says, no, any day. I don't think that was what we said. Are you sure? I don't remember. He doesn't remember. So we have what's called a bari and shema. A bari is saying, I know I get the big one. The shema says, I'm not sure if you're right. So it says the Mishnah, zacha begadol, the buyer gets the bigger field or the better slave. So that would imply bari v'shema, bari adif. One person is certain, one person is not certain, and therefore we say the certain person's claim, who says he knows he gets the bigger one, he wins. And that's an easy read in the Mishnah. The problem is that we don't paskin. We paskin that, as we said previously, that no hamotzim mechaver levaraya. So that wouldn't work. So there, just because you're sure it's yours doesn't mean you get it, even if the other person's not sure. But in our Mishnah, the case, therefore, is that they're arguing over not necessarily which particular, they're not arguing over a particular land, but they're arguing over the value. They're saying, listen, that's a side point, really, but it's an important one. They're arguing over, you know, what I gave you was worth a bigger field. And he says, no, I'm not sure. Maybe it wasn't worth a bigger field. So the person who is selling the fields is being motivated by miktsas. He's agreeing to part of the claim and not all the claims. So that makes him now the situation of having to take a shvua, because he's a partial admission, like we said previously, and as a motor mixus, he has to swear on the other part of it. Since he's any day, he doesn't know whether or not he agreed to the bigger one. He can't swear on the extra value. Since he can't swear, the rule is a person who can't swear and make such a shvua is forced, since he can't swear, he'll have to pay. So that's why, in this case, the purchaser gets the bigger field, because the other person who's motor mixus can't counter it. Okay, can't count him with the shvu because he doesn't know. Okay, now the Mishnah goes on, on the same line of thinking. It says, Hamocher omer katan macharti. The seller says, I sold you the lesser value one, the small one. Vahala, but the purchaser, omer eni yodea, I'm not sure. So now the din is, ein lo ela katan, so then too bad for the buyer, he only gets the lesser one. And the other guy doesn't have to do anything. He doesn't have to even swear, because what's he doing already? He's insistent, he's sure he owes him the smaller one. There's no claim against the contrary, so it's not motiv mixtas or nothing. And there's no shvu and motiv mixtas if it's a shema, if it's a maybe. And therefore, all he gets is a little one. If ze omer gadol ve ze omer katan, both are making bari claims. Each one's insisting that one's saying, you're entitled to the small one, one's entitled, no, I'm entitled to the big one. Then the din is yishava hamocher shakatan machar. So then, now we have a motu machavero, so he can't be forced to give it. But since he's motu mixas, he's admitting a partial claim, he's forced to take a shvua. Now he can take a shvua because he says he's certain, he offered the small one, so he'll give the small one, he'll swear on the value of the difference, and then the purchaser gets the lesser one, and that's that. So he could take a shvua because of motu mixas. Now just a side point, a very important but kind of technical one, The claim that they're arguing over can't be over a specific piece of land or a specific slave, because then there's no shvuas for a few reasons. First of all, in general, there's no shvuas motor mixus when it comes to land and slaves. You just don't do that for based on other limudim. But more than that, there's a general kind of principle which sometimes it's hard to understand. I don't get into too much here, but the bottom line is if I say you owe me wheat and you say no, I owe you barley, and the wheat's worth 100 and the barley's worth 80, let's say, that's not called motive mixas. Okay, that's called a total repudiation of the claim on the wheat and a different confession about owing the barley. So that doesn't require a motive mixas shvu. It has to be that I claim you owe me, you know, $10 worth of barley, and you say, no, it's just $9. Or I claim you owe me a lot of value worth of field or a lot of value worth of slave, and you say, no, it's a lesser value. So then since they're arguing over the value that's owed, it's a partial omission on what is agreed upon, and it's a partial denial, and that's a motiv mixas and has take a shvua. Okay, fine. The last case is ze omer eni yodea, ze omer eni yodea. Both buyer and seller are both very foolish and can't remember was the big one, was the little one. So then says the Mishnah, yachloku, they divide it. This again is Sumchas, who says mon mutal basafik yachloku. We don't know who should get what, so we say, okay, so split the difference. Again, it's not l'halacha. The halacha is like the chachamim, tehamotzim l'chaver l'varaya, so that means that the larger field will stay in the possession of the muchzak, and the smaller field will transfer over to the buyer, because he has no proof to the contrary, and we're not considered as no shvua, no swearing required, because since there's no bari claim demanding that the buyer is entitled to something more, so the seller need not take any sort of shvuas and motiv mixas, so simply he'll keep the greater field or the greater slave and give the buyer the lesser.